This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! What a play call!
You're listening to the best of the Commanders.
And it is good! Washington wins!
A weekly mix of 106.7 The Fan and 980 The Team's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Welcome back to another Misery Monday. We've had way too many of these in 2025. Presented by Chiniga Mios, the 2025 top workplace. Visit careerswithmios.com. Go out to the Rude Guest Hotline. Say good morning to our friend John Keim, who covers the Commanders for ESPN and ESPN.com. John, good morning.
Good morning, JK.
What up, fellas?
What's up, buddy?
So another loss. Just throw it on the pile at this point. Commanders fall to 4-11, and they have more quarterback injury issues. This is from your Twitter, at @John_Keim. Marcus Mariota needed stitches in his right hand, also dealing with a quad injury. Considered day-to-day, they'll consider signing another quarterback if needed. What's the latest? Do we expect Mariota to go on Thursday? Will it be Josh Johnson? What's the latest in the quarterback carousel?
Yeah, that's pretty much is the latest. So we'll be out there today. They have a practice. They'll practice today and tomorrow. So we'll get a much better sense later today if he even practices, and then certainly tomorrow. It's not an ideal situation, but this is not an ideal season. So it's nothing is good right now. That's about it. Like, it's, you know.
Do you have any idea, John?
Another chapter in a season.
Yeah. And any names that, like a name or two that would even be under consideration as far as a guy that they might sign if it looks like Marcus can't go?
Sure. I mean, the one that makes sense, because he was here last year, is Jeff Driscoll. And they opted not to re-sign him in the offseason. Now, at the time, my understanding was that he wanted to go somewhere where maybe he had a chance to compete for the number two job. Well, that didn't occur. He's now on Arizona's practice squad. I believe he's still on it. So, like, that would be one that would clearly make some sense because he knows the offense. And if you're going to bring somebody in late, you want someone who at least knows the offense and maybe avoid the Garrett Gilbert situation from a few years ago, who actually did all right. But yeah, so that, you know, that's what you'd probably be looking at, something like that. Somebody who at least knows the offense, who could come in and, like, in a pinch, maybe be a backup.
So Sam Hartman, isn't he still on the practice squad?
He is still on the practice squad.
Okay. So wouldn't they elevate him to be the backup?
That's possible. Yeah. You know, the question is, has, you know, if he had to go in a game, how they would feel about that. that would be the biggest question. So
yeah,
that wasn't something that they were willing to entertain before this. Or not willing to entertain, but that they weren't going to entertain before this. So, you know, did not have a great summer.
Yeah.
Coming off shoulder surgery, I get it, but was not a great summer. So what they would do at this point, that would be an option, yes. But you'd still probably want to, go out and sign someone else too if
right.
Mariota is not going to be able to play the following game either.
It's just, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, JK, how ironic this season for Washington is as compared to Chicago's after what happened last year.
For sure. I mean, it's almost...
almost identical to what happened last year on the flip. Yeah.
It is. And I know, like, it's, you know, if you go and point, I'll go with that game just ruined them. Like, well, it's way more than that. And for both teams. But it is, like, it's crazy watching Chicago. Like, yeah, I saw this movie last year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's incredible. And it's honestly, it's what makes the NFL fun, that you can have years like that and the team that's been down have a year like that. But yeah, no, it's that play yesterday. I was like, yeah, saw that play last year against that team. So,
correct.
You know,
it's exactly
it's
what
amazing.
Happened almost.
It's amazing. And but it is hard. Like, it shows you too, like last year at this time, it's like, yeah, this team's going to build on that and see what Chicago does next year because it's hard to duplicate that. But if they do, more power to them.
So many question marks with Washington as opposed to Chicago from last year. And Washington, you know, the biggest one is the health of the quarterback.
Right.
Also the age of the roster and the positions that they need to target in the offseason or the draft, possible coaching changes. What's the one top of the mind, right, for you? What's the one thing that comes in terms of what direction they're going to have to go to in the offseason?
Well, in terms of, all right, well, obviously the biggest question is, you said it, is Jaden's durability.
Right.
And like that, but that's not something that we will know until the off season, right? I mean, the biggest thing you have to fix right now is the defense and who's going to lead that group. That to me is, because then it starts, okay, once you know, okay, this is the coordinator, this is what you're going to do, so then this is what you start to shape in the off season with the roster. And finding you need to find somebody who can make an impact in that front seven, an impactful player in that front seven. You know, to me, getting more speed. Obviously, you want to get a little bit more youth. I don't think it's always. I don't think that every ill is because this roster is old. I just think you need more. You need better players. You know, you look at the Eagles roster, and it's like they have impactful guys on both sides of the ball, and you need to find guys who can make an impact on that defense. So to me, that's like the number one thing.
And one of those guys that made more of an impact in this most recent game, and I think we'll get bigger looks over these last two, is Jordan McGee. And you tweeted about it, that his speed is noticeable, kind of jumped off the screen. I would guess his role expands as this season mercifully comes to an end.
Yeah, and you know, he's been getting, like, he was a guy, it's funny, because he had, I think it was the Atlanta game, I think he only had like 5 snaps in that game. And I remember even, because I went back, like, I want to see this guy because you know that what he possibly can add. You know, at that time, you just weren't sure. But you could see it in those 5 plays, like, oh, wow, you notice that. And it's been like that every time. So I don't know that his snaps are going to increase dramatically Thursday or next week because they've kind of been steady. Over the time, and it's like it really depends on some, you know, what packages you use and all that. What they are doing certainly is grooming him to be a middle linebacker probably next year and doing things like, you know, first of all, like Bobby Wagner's been really, really good since he got here with him about like kind of how to go about playing the position, what you things you need to do, how to handle the huddle, et cetera. And like, that's kind of important. I mean, little things like making sure your conditioning is up because you go make a play, you've got to get back to the huddle, call it clearly. Now that sounds like a simple thing, but it's a detailed thing that helps. And that's something Wagner's helped him with. So the point is though, they've been grooming him for that. And like, he's had to wear the green dot in practices sometimes when Wagner's not practicing. So like, that's actually a good thing for them that he gets to, then you're in charge of the defense in practice. Right. So like, yes, you'd like to see that in the game. I don't think we're going to see that till next year. Unless something happens, you know, with other players, but that is like, he is a guy that, again, you absolutely feel that. And I think you want to feel more of that, and get other players where you can feel that speed. And speed alone is not the thing, right? Like, Zach Brown was fast. And I remember a coach telling me, like, one time, like, some plays he'd look like a Pro Bowler, some plays he'd look like he'd never played the game in his life. Mm-hmm. So you need more than that, and I think McGee has that.
Right.
So, and he's a very good tackler. You know, he seems to be in position where he needs to be, et cetera. So, yeah, like, there's reason to feel definitely reason to feel optimistic about him moving forward.
JK, what was the reaction of the press box or wherever you were standing when the Eagles went for two with 4 minutes to go?
I mean, it was like, why are they doing this?
Yeah, right.
It was kind of hard to figure that out. And, you know, I heard Sirianni's explanation and
that was such a lie. It was such a lie.
I mean, mathematically, it makes sense, but it's like, okay, there's 4.5 minutes left. You have Josh Johnson in there. He had a lot more confidence in what this team could do than anybody else.
The Commanders had a 0% chance of winning that game.
Yeah, they would have to get three possessions, score touchdowns on two of them, score successful 2-point conversions on two of them.
Right, with Josh Johnson.
Still get the ball back for a field goal. So basically doing more in 4.5 minutes than they'd done in a long time. So
I'd love to know the behind the scenes, you know, discussions and rationale and why coaches decide to do that. I don't think DQ would do that against the Eagles.
No, I don't think so. I don't think he would either. Maybe Sirianni's trying to get something, you know, gussied up for Hard Knocks on Tuesday night. I don't know.
Right.
You know, maybe he can say something different than tough people do epic, you know, S with that, whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
uh-huh.
It's the only phrase that he ever utters. But yeah, it was again, I understand the math, but look at the situation. Look at logic.
Right.
So it didn't look at
probabilities.
Yeah. If you're into analytics, like the analytics show, like, what are the analytics that show that Washington could do all this in 4.5 minutes? Like, oh, zero?
Zero. Okay. Zero.
But
exactly.
Again, the math, I get it. You know, if there were 8 minutes left in the game, I get it.
Right.
Because you still could get three possessions. They weren't getting three possessions.
I mean, if you're playing the Bills, okay, if you're playing an explosive offense, okay, I got it. But you're playing a terrible team with a terrible quarterback.
Yeah.
It just didn't make any sense to me.
No, it didn't.
And I guarantee you, Sirianni behind the scenes is laughing that he gave that rationale.
Well, see, as an Ohio State guy, there was one time Woody Hayes went for two against Michigan. They were blowing him out. And somebody asked him why they went for two, and he said, because we couldn't go for three.
So, right. See,
good. That's a solid
answer. That would have been a better answer for me. Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, yeah. John, like a couple months ago, maybe late September, early October, as you're perusing the late season schedule, you look at this Christmas Day game on Netflix between the Commanders and the Cowboys, you're like, oh, we're going to have Dak versus Jaden, you know, squaring off. That's not happening. You could have a possible NFC East Division Championship implication game. Both teams are eliminated from playoff contention. Like, what are Commanders fans watching this game on Christmas for? Like, what's the motivation for them to watch this game?
I have the same question. I don't ask it like that. I say, why are you watching this? That's how I would ask. Because it's there. That's why. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
I can't give you a good answer to that because I have the same question. Like, I'm going to ask, like, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
Well, you're getting paid to be there.
I'm getting paid to be there, you know? Yeah. And like, you're leaving your families. Like, you have security people getting there at 5 a.m. Like, what are we doing here?
Right.
But because that's the job, right? I get it. But for fans, like, you know, I'm sure you turn it on. And then I think the good thing at this point in the season, like, you turn it on, things go south, like, all right, I'm going to go enjoy my family now, because you don't have to do it. So, but yeah, I don't have a, you know, like, and it's funny because, you know, like, I like to go back and watch the games again. And now I'm like, well, what am I looking for? And so like, now my thing is like, well, just watch the young guys, watch some of the guys, and, you know, some, like a guy like Drake Jackson, first game back last week. So
right.
That's why I'm watching, is to see that, because, you know, and if I mean, there's, it's Trey Burks, what does he do? Right. Like guys like that who could factor into a role next year, you know, et cetera. Like that's, but I don't know that that's enough of a hook on Christmas Day for other people to, you know.
The only reason you'd watch is if you've watched The Christmas Story too many times and you're tired of it.
Yeah, and listen, right? You're a diehard fan. You're a diehard fan. Yeah. You don't like the Cowboys. You still want to see them win. Like that, like God bless those people. And because it's hard. It's really
well,
hard.
I would think that most, I don't know if most, but a lot of Commanders fans are hoping for losses, because right now they're sitting in the seventh slot in the draft and they want to try and get to six or five.
Well, and you know, it's funny, because my thing all along, my thing had been like, you know, you want to finish strong and get, because you don't want to end the season on this horrible losing streak and all that, because of what it means. Because next year you're going to go, if you know, you lose, you go 4-13, like you're going into next year, like you've got to show really good improvement now.
Mm-hmm.
And so it leads to a lot of other questions and issues. But when you're playing Josh, if you're down to your third string quarterback, I don't care who it is, you're down to your third string quarterback in this game, like, that stuff is like, players understand, like, this isn't about, you know, can this guy, you know, you keep hearing like, there's no sense that Dan Quinn has, quote, lost the locker room, and talking to guys there, like, they understand what happened this season. Not like, you can't blame it on injuries alone, because you still want to play better. You can still play better, especially defensively. Right. And both sides, right. You could, but I think they understand. So if you lose this game in this situation, be competitive. Like the other night, they were competitive for most of the game, and then Mariota got hurt and things just changed. But like, that's where it's like, okay, you see some, no pun intended, but you see some fight, and then you can get the pick. But I would also say this, like, for people wanting the higher pick, there are a lot of teams that pick in that top 10 every year that are perennial participants who still suck.
Yes, so, that is true.
You know, so it doesn't guarantee you anything. You have to have a lot more go right than just like, hey, you got the fifth pick. That's not going to solve everything. That maybe you can trade back, get more picks. That doesn't solve everything either. You have to still put together a good free agency period, and, you know, whatever you're going to do with the coordinator, that's important. So like, all those things matter quite a bit.
A lot of holes.
John, thanks as always for the time. Have a great Christmas, and we'll talk to you again next week. Okay.
Awesome. Thanks. Merry Christmas, guys.
Yep. Yeah. Same. John Keim, ESPN Commanders reporter. Check out his work at ESPN.com. Coming up next, Mike Jones, national NFL writer for The Athletic, joins the Junks.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Goal line play. They keep on pounding away. Kroski Merritt stacked up again by Jordan Davis. Second effort to the goal line. And he is.
Guess it depends when they say his forward
pass. He's in. He was out. He was in. He's in officially. Well, initial surge was stopped by Davis, but Kroski Merritt kept on battling.
Yeah, we're going back to Saturday. I mean, there's so much from yesterday to discuss, including some forward progress in the end of that Pittsburgh-Detroit game, which was just amazing. I mean, we had the Thursday night two-point conversion, and we had the last play of Pittsburgh-Detroit yesterday. The NFL season has been great. It's too bad our team hasn't been a meaningful participant. Good morning, everybody. You know, that Kroski Merritt second effort run gave Washington a 10-7 late first half lead. I mean, if you were watching this game, no offense taken if you weren't, but this was a totally winnable game. Not because the Skins are a better team than the Eagles, they're not, but because they came to play and the Eagles are far from the most explosive team in the NFL, and you get those games in which things happen. What a great second effort run by Bill. They had that lead. They got bullied around, though, when the second half started, especially after Marcus Mariota left the game injured. The chances then were reduced to pretty much zero. Leaving the game injured is the story of the season, and he did that, as did three or four others. But, you know, for those of you looking for Dan Quinn's team to roll over and play dead, they didn't. And they definitely didn't when Nick Sirianni made the decision to go for two late in the game, up 17. I'll have a few minutes on that when I get to my game take. Max is with me. A lot of NFL to go through, a lot of the college to get through. Remember, we left you on Friday. There were four college playoff games, and two of them were really good. And by the way, congrats to JMU for the backdoor cover. I mean, they were getting absolutely manhandled. That looked like, okay, we can't do that again as college football fans, as college football decision makers. We can't have two of the G5s in there. Tulane got routed earlier in the day by Ole Miss. And then JMU, I mean, literally, it seemed like every play Oregon ran, it could and would potentially break for 30-plus yards, if not a score. But JMU's got some offense, man. They scored 28 points in the second half. And down 48-13, they rolled to a late, late backdoor cover after a 99-yard drive and a fourth-and-goal touchdown. It was beautiful. JMU was a smell test pick on another ridiculously smoking hot weekend for the smell test. 6-3-1 now going into tonight, where I gave out the Colts plus the points. This is going to probably, it has a chance to go down as the best smell test year for me ever. I'm approaching 64% for the season. And still a lot to go. I mean, we got bowl games. We got more playoff games in college. We got two more NFL regular season weekends and a lot of playoff wins. But, you know, the Madison game pretty much, you know, held the form in terms of the way the season's going. That game had no chance with the underdog covering until they did. Anyway, back to our team and the game it played on Saturday night. The Eagles clinched the NFC East on Saturday night here in Landover.
They really pushed Washington around for the final 18 minutes of that game. And they had that opportunity because Washington was down to their third string quarterback. And Josh Johnson, bless his heart, was not prepared and ready for the rigors of an NFL game and throwing the forward pass, which he had not done much of in recent years. But with that win, the Eagles clinched their back-to-back division titles, becoming the first NFC East team to do that since 2004. We've had that conversation for 20 years, if you can believe it. Now, it didn't become a conversation until maybe 10 years ago, but that 20-year streak of a new NFC East champion every year is over. The Eagles still have seeding to play for the rest of the way, so when Washington finishes up the season at the link with whoever is on the roster at that point, they might have something to play for. Washington had nothing to play for on Saturday, but they played like they did on Saturday evening. No doubt, if you were paying attention to that game, it was pretty obvious. They came pumped up, fired up to play the game. Maybe it was that NFC East division tournament that Quinn pitched with, you know, the first round victory over the Giants to survive and advance to the second round against the Eagles. That's what he was pitching all week. They seemed to buy into it because they competed from the jump. They played hard. They played, you know, fired up, excited football. They wanted it. You could feel it through the TV screen, you know, with the opening kickoff, the Will Shipley fumble, the Sanders still strip, the recovery by Kane Medrano. That sideline was on fire. You could feel it with every Bobby Wagner tackle, you know, with every run by their running backs. Man, Chris Rodriguez and Kroski Merritt, the effort they've given as runners here this season, especially on Saturday, was legit. Now, the Eagles didn't have Jalen Carter up front. That's a big miss for them, and they've been run on a little bit. We talked about that on Friday. But you could feel the excitement on the sideline when Jake Elliott missed three first-half field goals. You could feel it when Terry McLaurin caught that 40-yard contested catch throw by Mariota. Look, we all watch enough NFL. Like, if you just chalk it up, well, eventually it was going to go the way it did. You haven't watched the NFL. That game was not, you know, eventually going to go anyway with Marcus Mariota in the game. They had a legitimate chance to win that football game until his injured hand and I guess quad and concussion and whatever else he had led to Josh Johnson coming in to play. And Josh Johnson was terrible. But that's what you get typically from a third string quarterback, especially when he's 39 years old. So Washington's 4-11. The next game, if you're excited about it, is the Christmas Day game against Dallas. The Cowboys eliminated from contention with the Philadelphia win. Plus, they lost yesterday. We don't know who will start at quarterback. It sounds like it's Josh Johnson with Sam Hartman backing him up. I guess there's a possibility they could sign somebody else. I saw many of you tweeting out, you want to get some people excited about the Dallas game? Go sign Taylor Heinicke. Yeah, the problem is Taylor Heinicke doesn't know the offense. They have to have people in the game that know the offense. So that would be Johnson, Hartman. I heard Keim this morning early on the Junkies mention Jeff Driscoll, who's on somebody's practice squad. Obviously, he knows the offense from last year. But, you know, this is a meaningless football game on Christmas Day. And then after Dallas, Washington will finish up this miserable 2025 season with a game against the Eagles, either on January 3rd or January 4th. That won't be determined until Monday when they come up with the Week 18 schedule. And then the season will be over. This incredibly pathetic, disjointed, discombobulated, miserable, depressing, you know, angst-ridden for a while anyway, season, which can't end soon enough. I was mentioning on my podcast yesterday, because it just made me think of how quickly we get here, and the NFL season is such a sprint in so many ways. Like, I know it's 17 games over 18 weeks, and it eventually will be 18 games over either 19 or 20 weeks. You know, despite all the injuries and the late-season injuries and the quarterbacks that Kansas City lost Gardner Minshew, apparently, to a torn ACL yesterday. So that's two ACLs, two quarterbacks in 2 weeks. But I think we're going to eventually get that 18th game. It's still, you know, when we're sitting here in August and September, you just know, you know, before you know it, it's going to be, you know, getting cold, the leaves changing, Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's January. It's brutal outside, but you've got, you know, playoff football to watch inside. And we're going to have it this year, but without our team. We were certainly, many of us, I certainly was, super excited about this season. And when you think about it, that that season, even a month into it, was still very much in play. You know, when Jaden came back from injury number one and played lights out against the Chargers in what turned out to be a blowout win over a team that's very good, 11-4, the Chargers are. They were 3-2, remember, in that moment. And there wasn't a lot to be super concerned about. You know, the defense hadn't played very well. There was that. And the injuries were starting to mount, but we didn't know how serious they would come. They would become. And then the Bears were coming in for a Monday night game. And at that point, Chicago wasn't supposed to be very good, we thought. On a rainy night late in the game, a fumbled attempt at a handoff, and that game slipped away, as did the season that came after it. And here we are, nearing the end of a season that does in many ways feel so familiar. You know, games in late December with nothing at stake. Really no chance to turn even the last few games into anything. I mean, I'm going to weigh in on the Nick Sirianni decision to rub it in to Washington at the end with the two-point conversion with 4:26 left when I get to the game take, and I do have 3 or 4 minutes on that. But, you know, even trying to exact revenge, which was what Quinn said after the game, is going to come with, like, you know, a continuation of players who really aren't players who you would put out there in a big, meaningful revenge game. Right. You know, at that point, it might be Sam Hartman taking snaps at quarterback. The story of 2025, the wounded, the wobbly, the kicked in the teeth repeatedly while down season. Good news is, and I mentioned this yesterday, this isn't soccer. They're not going to be relegated. They'll be back in the NFL next year playing an NFL schedule, and they'll have a chance to prove that this was just a one-year aberration. But, you know, despite injuries being far and away the obvious number one reason for where they are, they need better players, clearly, across the board. Because their backup players and the backups to the backups and the backups to the backups to the backups that ended up getting into games this year just weren't anywhere near good enough. They got a lot of work. And we've got, I guess, an entertaining offseason to discuss all of the moves and non-moves that this team will be involved in making. And there are going to be a lot of them. I still can't move on from what, to me, will be number one on the list. You can't possibly be a legitimate contender when your defense is as bad as theirs. And, yeah, they were trying hard. They were flying around. There are some players. I mean, Bobby Wagner, my God. The dude at his age, to be hitting people the way he hits, to be giving that level of effort, a pro's pro. But this is truly one of the absolute worst defenses I've ever seen for our franchise. Although it'd be hard to name, you know, more than 10 over all of the years of watching football that are any worse than this one. That's where it all starts in the offseason. You can make the case very easily. You can rationalize what happened to the team this year and say, if you've got your starting quarterback, even if we are concerned about health, and he's healthy, and you don't lose your number one wide receiver and your number two wide receiver and your number one running back and your number one offensive lineman, et cetera, you could see a quick turnaround offensively. You know, defense is variable year to year, but they don't have anybody. And they don't have anybody to organize it and to coach it at this point. That's going to be number one in the offseason. You can't possibly, no matter who's playing quarterback for your team, no matter how well you play offensive football like they did last year. Last year, to go as far as they did, not being able to stop anybody, was the flukish part of it. Really, that was the flukish part of it, is that the defense was so bad, and yet they were able to win two road playoff games and win 12 in the regular season. Can't count on that to happen again. Got to get better on defense in particular. That's where it starts for me in this offseason. All right, when we come back, I do have a game take, what I liked, didn't like, and I will get into the Sirianni decision to go for two to try to rub it in and run it up on Washington, which is exactly what the takeaway should be from that, even though I'm not sure he did it intentionally. I'll explain when we return. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. Brian and I are out west, Ashburn, VA, BigBear.ai Performance Center. As the Commanders, listen, man, the schedule continues to march on regardless of who is healthy and who is not. Commanders taking on the Dallas Cowboys on Thursday. Yeah. Christmas Day against the Cowboys. Good morning, B. How do you do?
I'm good, man. What's happening with you?
It's weird because this is our first show since the game against Philly, but not having a Sunday game just feels a little different because it was the Saturday night affair. We start with that game, but then so much happened yesterday of like far more importance to the NFL season than what we saw Saturday at Northwest Stadium. I don't know. Yesterday was a wild day. Did you watch Ravens Pats last night?
Yes, I did.
I think is
can't
that
turn the ball over, dog?
No, you really can't. The Derrick Henry fumble stuff is crazy. I mean, they basically had to bench him, even though he was gashing them. Lamar getting hurt, Huntley. That game was wild. It was a back and forth affair. You know, the one complaint about Drake May was he had never gone for 300 yards. Well, he sure did last night. He finished with almost 400. He had the early pick, but he was phenomenal in the second half. That Pats team is legit, man. They play good D.
They play all three phases.
Yeah, totally. I don't know that the Ravens are officially cooked yet, but between the Steelers getting the win and
– the Steelers getting the win and them losing and the way that they're playing, they're basically cooked.
They seem cooked,
They're sizzling right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're about to be marinated.
They're not officially done, but the Steelers are now 9-6, and the Ravens are 7-8. So they're now two games behind them with two to play. I guess they have one head-to-head matchup, though, which will kind of – do they play next week, Ravens-Steelers?
They're still them two games behind, though, dog. So it's two games left. They're two behind.
Well, and the Ravens go to Green Bay next week, and then week 18, I think, is Ravens versus Steelers.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ravens-Steelers week 18. That game was wild. I thought the Bears-Packers game Saturday night, was that on when you got home?
Yeah, I saw the ending of it.
I walked in, and so I was in the car, and they're like, all right, well, now the Bears have to try a onside kick. Nobody ever gets these. So I'm getting out of the car, getting all my stuff. You know, on game day, you end up with lots of stuff. And I finally get in, and I go to my porch, and I turn the TV on. And I'm like, wait, it's Chicago ball? And it was right when Caleb hit the kid for the touchdown to tie it up. So I got to watch that overtime.
They got the onside kick. You don't get it if you don't go for it.
I was listening. I had to run to the grocery store this morning, and I was listening to the Junks. And not that – I think it was Bishop. Plenty of people have made this assertion, but like – Chicago this year and Washington last year have so many parallels.
They flipped.
Dude, down to the Hail Mary last year broke Chicago. They went 1-10 after that. The fumble where the Commanders lost to the Bears at home this year, the fourth quarter fumble by Jaden, seems to have maybe broken Washington. I mean, I think they've won one game since then. And it was the Giants game. I don't know that that's 1-10. I don't know that it'll work out the same week-wise. But getting harder and harder to think there's another win on Washington's schedule, especially now where Marcus Mariota's injured. we saw him come out of the game Saturday, and immediately he's grabbing his hand. And I think, you know.
They say a cleat got it?
Yeah, I knew some folks.
I've seen stuff like that. Those are seven studs. They can dig in because Ricky Irvin's stepped on Jim Lachey's leg one time. And I'm talking about that thing was about that long and was ripped open. So that can do some serious damage.
Yeah, dude. I knew some folks down on the field as Marcus was getting tended to before he ran into the locker room. And they were like, yo, this is intense. So at that moment, I didn't think he was coming back in. And Johnson, you know, steps into a really difficult spot, throws a god-awful interception.
It was late. It was just like one I saw Marcus do earlier this year where you're watching him, like, scramble, look around, and you're like, don't, and all hell.
Totally, dude. It was late. It was off his back foot. He didn't step into it. It was across. Yeah. It was far hash to far
falling
hash.
Away, throwing the ball from the left side of the field to the right side with no step into, it's not going to get where it's supposed to go.
It sure didn't.
Yeah.
And from there, it was just a boat race. The biggest story from that game has now become the two-point attempt by Nick Sirianni and the subsequent fight.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a multiple things can be true situation. I think we know that Sirianni is a bit of a hothead, a bit emotional, whatever you want to say. The going for two there, despite his attempt at explaining
about the analytics.
Yeah.
Give me a break with that.
Like,
I hate when people try to lean on that BS, man.
Yo.
He did it because he wanted to embarrass him.
Totally.
Hey, that's exactly what happened. Last time they were here in that stadium, their guy got hurt, and they tried to say that somebody tried to purposely hurt him. He was scrambling. He got hurt. They were trying to, dig it in a little bit.
1,000%.
I will say this. Take notes, people. When it flips again, get him back. It goes in ways, dude.
That's my thing, because I know a lot of fans are really mad about Philly doing that. One, I'm not surprised. Like, remember that this head coach, Nick Sirianni, is the dude that out of nowhere, baselessly, needlessly, tried to call out Art Monk like 4 years ago. And Art Monk, I mean, you played with him.
Yeah.
He's widely considered one of the classiest, kindest, most stand-up, off-the-field individuals.
Yeah.
Art Monk doesn't really speak. He doesn't cause trouble. Like, Google it. For those that are unfamiliar, Sirianni.
Hey, man.
White Brian, look up what year it was. He randomly just tried to call out Art Monk.
That was like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But rivalries are started because of ish like that. And,
right.
And listen, live up to it. Be happy. Listen, and look, the guys went out there. They responded in a way. And like Dan said, you don't want fists to be thrown. But, hey, if the fists start being thrown, then you damn well better be able to fight with your boys. You don't back off.
Yeah. I think a number of things happened. One, we shouldn't be surprised Sirianni did that. That's just how the dude operates. This is a rivalry game. Was it lame and needless? Absolutely. But they're also allowed to do that.
Yeah.
You know what Washington's allowed to do? Stop it.
Yeah, exactly.
like, break up the pass.
You know, it reminds me of that kind of reminds me of, remember the game when the Patriots were playing against us?
Yeah.
And they
that
scored.
That was with Coach Joe.
They scored late, and Philip Daniels, that's his name, right?
Yeah.
Big Phil was like, man, I can't believe they're trying to run the score up on Coach Gill. Dude, you're on defense. You've been out there the whole time. They scored almost 40 damn points. You can't be pissed at nobody but yourself. So you can stop them. As I always say, just because somebody turned the ball over on me, you got to let them go 90.
Totally.
You know what I mean? So,
like, is Sirianni relatively classless? Yes. But at the same time,
he was doing what his fan base would love him to do.
Where I think there is misdirected anger for Washington,
mm-hmm.
You spent this organization spent their offseason to chase Philly. They tried to get bigger. They tried to get tougher because they want to beat Philly because they know mm-hmm. That's where they got to go through to win the division. And what Saturday showed, and there's a zillion injuries, and that provides context to all of it, right? Like, there's layers to this.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, what Philly did, specifically with the two-point conversion, was try to bully Washington.
Yeah.
And where the anger should be is that Washington was able to be bullied. And that's why you respond with the fight and everything else. Specifically with the fight, you got an O lineman, probably 330, going after a DB who's probably a buck 85.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Quan jumps in. That's why Javon.
Yeah, yeah, hell yeah, you're supposed to jump in.
I'm not mad about that.
No.
That's football. That's like once the stuff starts, where folks should be more concerned is that Washington is nowhere close to Philly. Philly just clinched the division for the first time since you were playing up there.
Mm-hmm.
Back-to-back years. That hasn't happened in forever. Now, they had a good game plan, and they were in that game. They had the lead at halftime. Philly is completely broken at the kicker position, which, you know, allow yourself some enjoyment for that. But, mm-hmm. like, the Commanders could not stop the Eagles when they needed to. Saquon did his thing again against Washington, finished that game with a buck 30, and then they put Bigsby in to kind of finish the game off. The bigger problems here are significant for Washington and require really significant examination and figuring out how they're going to fix this roster. Like, a two-pointer by a hothead head coach.
And I think of it is
what it is.
Basically, their tush-push has been grounded this year because people have figured out ways. And also, they're getting called for all the offside and false starts. What they did was say, oh, we don't have to do the tush push. We'll do it another way. Then that's what they did. And I think they for that conversion, they were like, okay, we're going for it. But the whole thing about it is that type of stuff happens. And all you could do is take notes. And you next time you play them and you're up, you get them back. Man, look.
And that's
tell
what
people,
those guys said.
I am a revengeful dude. Okay, when I play ball, you could get me today. I'm going to get your ass back tomorrow. And that's, listen, I was proud of them for sticking with each other. And I'm going to be even more proud because I know this thing turns. they'll get that chance to come back and get him again. And I hope Sirianni is still the coach at that moment. I hope he is. And then say, yeah, we just wanted to make sure he knew what happened 2 years ago, a year ago, whatever.
A part of me wonders, too, and no way would Sirianni say this, but because their kicker was so broken, I wonder if he didn't want to line him up for an extra point and have him miss another one. Because Philly's going to be playing in January.
I ain't giving him that excuse. I wanted to rub it in. That's what I must go with.
I think that's the reality.
Yeah.
But a small part of me wonders if it's like, dude, let's not send Jake back out there. Let's just go for two and come up with this cockamamie 19-point thing.
If I'm the owner, I'll say, why did you sign him? I don't want to hear about no Reed and one running back out there again. Why did you keep him on the team?
I think
that's what I'll be asking.
Publicly, I think the Commanders players did a really good job of saying, we'll see him again in 2 weeks. We'll see how this goes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Privately, I think they were furious.
Yeah.
And I understand that. I also think for Dan Quinn, I think DQ did a good job of what he said publicly versus what he felt privately. I think if you're Dan Quinn, what really pisses you off is there's only 32 people on the planet that are coaching NFL teams,
yeah,
right? Like, I imagine you believe there's some level of respect there for each other. And I think Quinn talked yesterday, and I made a point of asking him about this because I thought it was consistent with my thought. A lot of people on the internet in the second half of that game were flipping out at DQ for punting, right? Yeah, you're 4-10, it's 4th-and-6, just go for it. And so I asked Quinn about that, and there was a 4th-and-6th, relatively, probably 10 minutes left or so in the fourth quarter, where they punted. And I think that maybe you can ask a question, but they had a lot of time left, and it was still a relatively close game. Then there was a 4th-and-4 from their 44 where they punted. And at that point in the game, Josh Johnson's in the game. I think DQ was like, I got another game in 4 days, mm-hmm, and I got my third string quarterback. We're not going to win this thing. Like, let's just try to get out of here with the least amount of people hurt.
Yeah.
And it was after that Sirianni goes for two. Like, if you and I are against each other in something, mm-hmm, and I'm kind of clearly capitulating, that's where it becomes particularly classless to then rub it in.
Yeah, at that point,
I think it was more emotional.
But I'll say this. If DQ stuff could be a concern about people on the internet saying something, he's wrong. Something's wrong with him, and I know he's not. But I hear so many people talk as if they are an expert on calling these games and dealing with these situations, and none of them have ever been in those situations. So, listen, the man makes his decisions based off of what he sees at the point. Even us, we're at every game. We're all around. We still don't know what he – like, when you're in a situation, like, I might have been in that situation before, but if you're in it at that moment, what you do at that moment is what the hell you decided to do. I can't tell you what you should have done in it because when I was in a totally different situation, you know what I mean? When that stress level and all that began to hit, you don't want to hear what the person sitting in their house, you know, telling you what you're supposed to do.
Right. So
I
asked DQ about the punts yesterday, and he said, I think the first one was a little later on, maybe 9 minutes and some change. I don't have the exact information right in front of me, but I think back. And it was into that spot with three timeouts. I thought at that spot, let's punt, see if we can get a stop, which the defense did get a punt, and that would give us a field position shot to go. And then this is what he said of the second one, which I completely agree with. And I think people – so I'll read it. He said, obviously, if Marcus had still been in on the second one, I think that would have been more consideration to go. Looking back, I kind of thought, okay, still have the timeouts, could still work the space. Obviously, we didn't get the stop. They had the long run, so that was really the reason behind it. Mm-hmm. The first one I thought too early, and the second one, I think I could have flipped a coin to say, okay, this is a better chance for us to go here than not. You're on your third string quarterback.
Yeah.
Who had just thrown a high school interception.
Yeah.
Like that. If you want to just scream, go, go, go all the time, like, you've got to have some consideration of the other 50 players on the field.
You know, this year he's gone for some, and people complain that he went for it. So, like, it's gotten to the point now where no matter what he does, it's going to be a lot of people out there complaining about it because that's just where we are at this point, and that's what society is at this point where
– well, and they're bad. You're 4-11, so people are going to complain about a lot of stuff.
But the whole thing about it is – when you're 4-11, you're trying to figure out how the hell to get yourself out of that game into the next, like you stated earlier, without getting a ton of people hurt. And you're going
and
to.
And they got a ton of people hurt.
Yeah. And at this point, right, listen, man, this is a year.
From hell.
Yes.
I mean,
where
it
you
really
do
is.
Not, you do not, and I know people keep bringing up Detroit from last year and the 49ers. Those teams are built with the great foundation. And
Detroit's about to miss the playoffs.
No. I'm talking about last year when they had all the injuries and still got to the divisional round. But when we look at this team right now, this team did some stuff last year that they probably shouldn't have done that quick. Okay? They got there way quicker than anybody ever thought. Then they say, okay, well, let's try and go for it. And then this year, all the injuries pile up. It's not an excuse. It's a fact. All those injuries have hurt them this year.
Sure.
Point blank. And you got to just keep trying to get through it, and then you better be right for it next year. And you're right. Now the pressure goes on the people that are constructing this roster.
Dude.
The people that are trying to get this roster to play. The guys that are playing, they're going to be back. It goes on everybody now. So the guys that went to the offseason last year was happy and chill. You better go into the offseason this time, like, going full speed, full go. You got to bring a little bit more this year. And I've seen it. I've seen where people are completely healthy 1 year. And then the next year, you're like, damn, somebody get hurt every week. The next year, you might come back and nobody's injured. Or you may have a couple people. But you better be ready. You got to have somebody always ready. Always ready to step in. And then this time, build your roster to where that next man up mentality can be something that you can really lean on.
Doug, I mean, we haven't even gotten to the injuries. We haven't even gotten to the quarterback situation. Oh, by the way, they have a ball game in 3 days. There's also, I think we need a philosophical change out here. There's a phrase that I'm growing increasingly tired of that I think needs changing.
What's that?
I'm going to explain when we come back. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley. You're watching B. Mitch and Finley. You're YouTubing B. Mitch and Finley. Wherever you are, we're there. Happy holidays, everybody.
Good Monday afternoon, and welcome into Grant and Danny. You are listening live to The Fan. Coming your way from our Half Street studios in the Navy Yard, the nation's capital, Grant Paulson, and in for Danny Ruye, whose holiday vacay on Christmas week has begun. Steve Zabin in the saddle for the next couple of days with me.
What up, Grant Paulson?
Zabe, welcome aboard, my friend.
Can I
What's
call
good?
You Jeeps, or do I need to earn a certain amount of airtime points?
I think, you know what, all of the many, many hours in my life that I spent listening to you over the years.
You going
to
fast track me on that?
You get grandfathered right in, my friend.
Do you like that nickname, Jeeps?
I do. I gave it to myself in like middle school.
Did you really?
Which you're normally not supposed to do.
You're like Costanza.
It was a
T-bone.
GP, and then I don't know why we pluralized it. So we started doing that like with just buddies going out or sports teams or whatever, and it kind of stuck. So, yeah, I'm fine with it.
Well, it's good. That's like my nickname, Zabe, kind of came in college. My high school friends didn't call me that, but I went to school out at the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. Them California boys who didn't know anything about me are like, you're Zabe now. And I'm like, okay. And I just ran with it. So
2025, all these years later?
Right, exactly.
That's what you are.
Once something sticks, it's hard to get rid of. By the way, I'm just hustling up a little bio on Jeff Driscoll. I just heard in the update. He has now been added to the mix.
He is
exciting
back.
Times. The pride of Oviedo, Florida, by way of Louisiana Tech and then Florida before that. Sixth rounder back in the day.
Was here last preseason. Actually played well in the preseason and was a third quarterback for a stretch. And so there's some familiarity. I want to get into what that means, not only for the quarterback room and the fact that it's probably a no-go now for Marcus Mariota. Also, Sam Hartman. What is it that you'd say you do here? I mean, you're buddies with Jaden Daniels. I get that. This would seem like the time to elevate him in the lost season with 2 weeks left to kick the old tires.
They must really hate what they see out there from Sam Hartman.
He's very handsome. They can't hate that.
Impossibly dreamy. He's kind of like Will Levis. I call Will Levis, when he was playing, I called him the Netflix quarterback because he's the kind of guy that if Netflix did a movie about football, they'd go, that guy.
Right.
Square jaw, great looks, athletic. Like, he'd be great playing quarterback on Netflix. In a real game, though, oh, no, 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 bad disaster. Hartman's kind of similar in that regard.
I've got six texts from my wife since this morning asking if Sam Hartman's going to get a start.
Oh, I bet.
Here at the end of the year, and I have to break the news to her when I get home tonight. Sorry, hon, two things. One, I haven't started my shopping, and two, Sam Hartman is not going to be playing quarterback. For the locals, they signed Jeff Driscoll instead. But we'll get to that. There's a lot to chew on today on the Commanders and an NFL front. One of the best weekends as far as the National Football League goes that we've had this football season, undoubtedly. And we got to enjoy it all. Sunday, Thursday, we got to take
you worked Thursday.
A little bit, I suppose.
You were there.
Saturday night you're talking about?
Saturday night, not
yes,
Thursday.
I did.
You
I was
worked
there.
Saturday night, so you didn't get to enjoy the nightcap game.
Not as much as I wanted to.
Right.
Got home in time to watch the good chunk of it.
Okay.
But, I missed the first half of JMU, which was the half I wanted to miss, as it turned out.
Right.
They got
what a brutal backdoor cover for every Oregon bettor. They had gone, I looked at that, I couldn't believe it. I had a tiny piece on Oregon minus, nothing significant.
Yeah.
But I went and I looked it up, and it was like JMU had drives of 3 yards, 5 yards, and minus eight. And then Oregon shut the electricity off and went home, and JMU went 9 for 89, 9 for 99, and a 2-point conversion to cover the 20.5.
I was happy for them just to show something, right? You don't know when the next opportunity you're going to get is. You don't want to get trounced. My phone's already filling up with texts from people trolling.
How many friends do you have that went there?
Oh, tons.
Okay.
Where I went to high school at King George High in King George, Virginia, it's like Tech and JMU are the top two seeds.
Sure, sure.
But that's the case for a lot of people in the state. And it just so happens now my friend group, my wife went there, so most of her really good friends.
Oh, okay, so your wife is a Duke.
And if we had a party with all of our buddies, we could have 25, 30 people watching it.
Okay.
You know, it was hopping.
Where did you go to school? I forgot to ask
Mason.
This. You're a Mason guy,
yeah.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, the whole JMU thing, I know so many guys that, of course, went, and they all love the school. I like to get under their skin by calling it Exit 65 University because it's literally right off the highway. It's really beautiful down there. I'm like, okay. You like going there. I'm just teasing you, all right? Very defensive about it. But the whole phenomenon of them climbing out of 1AA, going to Division I, and at the time, I think a lot of us were like, you sure about that? And they're actually hanging and banging. They got, obviously, boat raced, but that's going to be the case.
Yeah. Sunbelt. They're going to be a problem every year, and they've had now, this will be their third coach,
yes,
and going with Napier, and I think even though the leveling down from Florida is indicative of the job he did there, it's a really good hire for them.
Yeah.
But you've seen Kurt Cignetti, just Google him, what he's done at Indiana.
Right.
Bob Chesney's now going out to UCLA. The only way I think they eventually keep head coaches from making that leap is if they were to join the ACC or get into a different conference probably.
Yeah.
Because the money's just not going to be there otherwise. But for now, they're a player in that conference, and in years where the ACC or somebody else throws up all over themselves, you can be the beneficiary.
In theory, yeah, but what I sense, Grant, is that the powers are scheming afoot to make sure this never happens again. In fact, I think they just said that there's certain provisions, not just for Notre Dame, but for the other Power Fours, that if you're in the top 12, you're in, no matter what.
Right.
So I do think they're scheming to keep it from happening again, but I think you saw the way that the ACC is going to work their schedule next year, how messed up it is.
Yep.
Nine teams are going to play, or no, like half the league is going to play nine games. Three teams are going to play eight games. And it's like, how are you going to figure it out at the end? It's even worse than this year was.
I think the good news for JMU or Tulane or any of the other teams from conferences of the like is the field's going to expand again. So
that would be the saving grace.
At a dozen, they might be cooked with whatever.
At 16, maybe not.
Finagling and basically, working against them, scheming, yeah, that's going to get done. But I think at 16 or anything larger, they'll be fine.
I don't need any more. In fact, I think the right number is 8, but nobody wants to hear that.
Yeah. Bigger is better for people, seemingly. Like, the tournament's a great example. I feel like every 2 or 3 years we hear about adding to the tournament, and I think it will only water it down and make it worse. but they can't help themselves.
Yeah, but you're a baseball guy. You remember when baseball basically said, or the network said to baseball, we don't want any more product. We can't handle any more product. I think at some point television says, we only want so much product, because they'll have to pay for the extra stuff that may not be very good product. And certainly two of those games over the weekend were bad product.
No doubt about it. The people that are making the argument because those games were so bad means they shouldn't have been there, I disagree with, because the system is the system.
They were there by fair and square.
Absolutely.
By the system that was set up.
And people seem to always forget there are blowouts with the Power Five conference teams all the time.
Yes.
Constantly.
They are. Mm-hmm.
You know, Ryan, who produces for us here, Clary, is a big Notre Dame guy who was reveling in the fact that JMU got whooped. I'm going to have to send him the game log of the Fighting Irish in the playoffs, because there's some 42-14s and some 47-17s in there, too. I mean, it happens, man.
You will exhaust yourself arguing with domers over this thing, because
no,
I know a couple, and they're still running their mouth. Had one of them in glee at halftime, or not even halftime, after one quarter with Oklahoma up 17-0.
Yeah.
Oh, they were loving it. And then everything got real quiet after
yes,
that.
It all came crashing down. We'll talk to Jake Gruden today, by the way, at 5 o'clock, our weekly appointment with the former head coach. He watches the tape for us. We break down Commanders games with him. Speaking of which, first chance for you and for me to crack the mic here on this Commanders loss. They're now 4-11, 29-18. They fall to the Eagles on Saturday night. So we're at a point of the season, Zabe, where I got to be honest, I've lost my energy to come on and do the they lost another game and just break down the specifics of
I still think you're going as strong as anybody.
Well,
you're getting into the weeds and some of the Easter eggs about I like McGee's speed. We got to get him more reps.
Look, we're trying.
But no, you're trying. You're doing it.
Well, here's what I
listen
mean,
to
though.
Take Command with you and Grant, with Logan
yeah.
on the way in. And I was like, these boys are getting after it.
We're chopping wood. Someone's got to pull the rope. But I guess what I mean is I can't sit here 2 days in this case after a game and care a whole lot about result. Like, this is now more process. This is more about a Jordan McGee or a Ben Sennett or what have you, which we can get into. But the quick blush breakdown of this game, if we want to run through it, I thought for a half, they looked competitive.
They played. Did not quit.
They looked inspired and like they were prepared well, which has not been the case in all their games this year. Jake Elliott misses a couple of field goals. The Eagles only have 7 points after 30 minutes. You've held Saquon Barkley in check. You're up 10-7. And then what I saw was the defense just completely got gassed.
Yeah,
I mean, they just got pushed around. Barkley, who went 6-for-16 in the third quarter, 6 carries, 76 yards with a homer in the fourth quarter. And the Eagles in the second half, after scoring 7 points at intermission, 17-play, 74-yard drive, another 7-for-37 and a touchdown after the turnover, and then a 4-play, 80-yard drive to put the game on ice. It just felt like the dam broke a little bit against a far superior team as far as talent goes.
Better team, although I talked to an Eagle fan this morning, and they were like, yeah, we won, but the team is still a mess. Pointed out all the sloppiness, all the things that weren't going right, the ongoing deficiencies of their quarterback, who is kind of at a low-key war with both the rest of the team and the fan base. So they look at it from the lens of, yeah, it shouldn't have even been that close. But I credit Quinn and the Commanders for showing up and being functional on a week-to-week basis, which is not something every team can say. Because you look at several ghost ships right now floating on the ocean in the NFL, two of which will meet each other this coming weekend for the number one pick of the draft, the Giants and the Raiders. The Jets are a ghost ship. It looks like Miami is now. Quinn Ewers was absolutely terrible down
Cardinals.
There. Yeah, the Cardinals are probably in that category as well. So I give the Commanders credit in that regard. But yeah, this is what sucks about seasons that unravel and disintegrate well before Christmas, is that there's not a lot that makes sense to dig into because there's going to be so many changes and so many things different next year. The way I look at it is, okay, what are the three biggest decisions they have facing them in the offseason? And I'm wondering what you think and whether your big three would match my big three.
Do you want to go with what I think they should be or what I think they will be? Because I'll give you an
example.
Those
are two different sets, and I would like to hear both sets.
So I think there should be a conversation about their offensive coordinator. into Fair. The offseason.
Yes.
I don't think there will be. I think the three biggest questions they'll answer are, number one, defensive coordinator.
Okay.
Do you bring Joe Witt back and let Dan Quinn call plays and let him do whatever he does during the week? I don't think so. I think there's going to be a lot of quality options available.
I hope that's a short deliberation. That, to me, should be an easy switch out.
You would think so. Also, look at some of the names that might get fired that are current head coaches that would be decent coordinators here. Guys like Jonathan Gannon in Arizona, or Todd Bowles possibly in Tampa Bay, or Raheem Morris maybe in Atlanta. Say what you want about any of those guys as head coaches. As coordinators, I think they've proven themselves.
Right, right.
And would be dramatic, significant upgrades so that Quinn could go back to doing some of the things he needs to do on the sideline during the game so that he's coaching up a better game on Sundays.
All right, so that's one big question. What's another one?
I think they've got to figure out what they're going to do at wide receiver. And that starts with, do you make any attempt to retain Deebo Samuel, who's going to be a free agent? I don't think they will. I don't think they should, unless he would come back on a one-year discount. Does that mean you get into the Brandon Ayuk sweepstakes?
Hell no.
Get ready for it. Buckle up.
Did you see the video he posted?
I did.
Of him speeding by Levi's?
He touched 102 miles an hour like he's... Louis Perales, the Nats' new pitcher they just acquired from the Boston Red Sox.
This guy is a certified jackass, and I wouldn't want to deal with him at all, but I am afraid that Peters connection could be too strong, and he might say, nah, he's misunderstood.
So it's not just Peters, though. His best friend is the starting quarterback, Jaden Daniels.
Yes.
And by all accounts, they're still very close. You would think Daniels would be willing to stand on the table to say, let's take a look-see. Now, well, I'm not interested.
Well, that table was taller last year for Daniels than it is now. It's a footstool now. I don't think he has as much juice this year as he would have last year.
That's true.
But he'll have pull for sure. Yeah,
he'll still have a lot of juice. I mean, this is still your franchise quarterback, your second contract guy in the moment that they're
right.
viewing is everything they do this offseason is through the lens of getting him back.
Sure, sure.
And if he's telling you at a position of need, love this guy. He wants to come in here. He's motivated. And by the way, he's not going to make a lot of money. He's coming off of a really serious injury with a bad rehab situation where he hasn't been on the field in over a year.
With a bad attitude. Don't
and
forget
he's
that.
Got baggage
he brings that to the table as well.
That doesn't fit in the overhead compartment on Southwest Airlines.
Exactly.
It's not like he's going to break the bank.
I would not want to be a part of that.
I'm with you. But I think that they could be intrigued. But anyways,
But conceptually, I do agree that having a badass number one at wide receiver is a crucial part of the modern NFL.
No doubt. That's my second kind of area that they need to attack or thing they need to consider is what am I doing at wide receiver?
Is Tunsil's money a question to you?
So I'm not putting that on my list because I think it's a no-brainer.
I would hope it is as well, but it's still a decision.
Then if that counts, that's top three, but here's how that's going to go. Ring, ring. Hey, who's this? It's Laramie. Hey, it's Adam. How you doing? I want an extension. Okay, cool. We'll draw it up and send it over. Let us know what you want. Done.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Peters,
I think so.
Peters will do that for him when he didn't for Terry?
Their issue with McLaurin was age at the wide receiver position.
Okay.
And the fact that track record and history says, data says, this is not going to age very well at this spot. That's not the case at tackle. Trent Williams is still the best in the game. So, yeah, I think they'll pay him. Right now, his AAV's Abe is like fifth at the tackle position.
Yep.
He's very well within his rights. I think he's the number six ranked tackle out of 82 via PFF. He might be the best pass-protecting tackle in the league. He could call them up and say, you know how Jaden Daniels' health is the single biggest thing that you're dealing with right now?
Right.
I want to be the highest-paid tackle in the league at $29.5 million or $30 million. And they would say, okay.
And are you okay with them committing that much into that position?
I think so. I mean, you're not paying a quarterback yet. You got to pay somebody. The left tackle
that
or the wide
true.
Receiver seem to be elevators for the quarterback position, right?
By the way, I'm shopping on a mock draft for a wide receiver. Doesn't look like anyone is mocking a true number one wideout in the top five or six.
So Jordan Tyson?
Jordan Tyson's the guy out of Arizona State.
I've seen him mock to Washington at seven. I got to say, seven for a wideout, Zabe, little rich for your boy. I'm desperate to
trade back. Philosophically or just based on the talent in the draft?
Philosophically.
Okay.
And certainly this year, too, like, there's not a can't-miss guy. I loved Malik Nabers coming out. I would not have had a problem drafting him at number 7 overall, let's say.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of people that were sold on Marvin Harrison. I wasn't as big a fan. But at 7, that would have made a lot of sense to me with his, you know, bloodlines and production. Sure. But whether it's Jordan Tyson or the other guy that's going to go very early in this class is Carnell Tate, who wears number 17 at Ohio State. Kind of familiar around these parts, right?
Listen, that's a good place to shop for wideouts.
It's certainly
Ohio State and Alabama. When Alabama's wideouts were making those big catches to come back against Oklahoma, I said to a buddy on a text thread, I'm like, damn, Bama has the nicest receivers all the time. Them and Ohio State.
Yeah.
Those are the places to shop. Penn State, not so much.
No, not well, unless you get Jahan Dotson, and then you can flip him for whatever it is that you get a couple years later. But yeah, I think that I'm trade back Paulson. You know that about me.
Yes.
Big trade back guy. If they can do that, I have no problem going receiver. But in the top 10, it feels like they're going to get an impact defender if they stay put.
Yeah.
And you got plenty of options where you could use upgrades there. The edge, it could be a safety if, you know, Caleb Downs is there, or you could get an off-ball linebacker on the second level.
Sure.
There's quite literally nothing they could do on defense to add a player of elite caliber in the top 10 where that guy wouldn't suddenly be the best player on your defense day one next year.
Now, have you talked about the backup quarterback decision and how many games of availability do you realistically count Jaden Daniels for going forward? Because I think having a non-awful backup, if you're going to have Daniels, and maybe a guy who complements what Daniels does, is a significant thing.
Oh, it's huge. Yeah, and that's one of the big decisions they've got to make, too, is how much are you willing to pay Marcus Mariota if one of the as many as 6 teams that might be in the market for a starting quarterback come calling and offering him that mid-tier money in the 17 to 20 range to be a bridge starter? Are you willing to offer him 14 or 15 million if that's what it takes with incentives to make more at QB2? Is that something you're willing to do?
14 gets to be a bit rich for me.
Feels like it.
Yeah.
If you're not convinced that Daniels can start in every game, then paying a backup quarterback becomes pertinent. It's one of the most important positions you've got then.
Yeah.
You can't go into the year with his buddy Sam Hartman holding the clipboard behind him or needing to make the phone call to Josh Johnson or Jeff Driscoll as they did today.
Let's prank your wife and say that, oh, hey, call her during a break and say, honey, you won't believe this. I found out Hartman did a beefcake calendar for Christmas.
She's probably already ordered it.
Do you want me to get you one?
I like that, actually.
And see how jazzed up she gets and then say, ha ha, April Fool's for Christmas.
She might get a little steamed up. Big Sam Hartman fan. I want to get into a couple of the big storylines that came out of this Eagles-Commanders game, though. One of which was Nick Sirianni's decision to go for 2.
Oh,
that drew
yes.
the ire of Dan Quinn.
The insulting 2-point conversion.
Led to a brawl, and then the frustration's very obvious post-game of Dan Quinn. We'll do that next. Steve Zabin's in for Danny Ruye. It's Grant and Danny on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app,
And you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.